The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
Well, JC, when I told you earlier today that we were all set and ready to record after the Lakers game tonight, the way the game started, I was so ready to be enthusiastic about the winning streak this team had finally solidified and perhaps could gel around. And instead, JC, instead, we get to talk about an epic collapse by the Lakers in the fifth game of the season. I am a man without words to begin this edition of the Hoopball Lakers podcast, JC. What is the word that you use to describe it?
Disappointed is about the only word that you can use to sum up the season so far.
The Lakers could easily be 0-5, as we were just discussing before we started recording this episode. And I apologize for the sound a little bit ago. That's what happens when you got automatic videos in the background. One of my personal pet peeves there. Anyhow, the Lakers could easily be 0-5, JC. And I sit here a man perplexed. You've seen them play in person. Fortunately, you got to at least see a win, although barely by the skin of the basketball the other night against the Spurs, whereas I saw that wonderful display of effort versus the Phoenix Suns at Staples Center. But overall, JC, this is not what we were wanting to see from this team. And I know it's been without LeBron for the last two games, but the Lakers were up by 22 points after the first quarter in this game. There is no excuse for what happened tonight.
Yeah, and it makes it all the more disappointing, too, when you look around the league and, like, you see Chicago being undefeated. Or I don't know if they lost yet, but they look like they're having so much fun with Lonzo and Alex Caruso. And I'm glad those fans are appreciating him. But at the same time, I mean, it could have just been a lot of things for the league. There's a lot of surprising results. The Nets aren't very good to start their season. So, you know, people just might need to have adjusted their expectations a little bit coming in. But, I mean, it's still disappointing for the Lakers to like you said, could easily be 0-5. They're lucky to be 2-3.
JC, not only did Russell Westbrook have his first triple-double with the Lakers in a losing effort, right? Classic, little classic Russell Westbrook to get a quick jab in there. And, you know, I've been a Russell Westbrook defender, but that's the low-hanging fruit. But not only did he have his first triple-double in this loss, JC, he actually had his first quadruple-double because he also had 10 turnovers on the evening. Yeah. 10 turnovers. That's been a huge issue for Westbrook since he's joined the Lakers. He took another 8 three-point attempts tonight, JC, which basically is a turnover the way that he shoots the ball. It has been an adjustment period, to say the very least. Now, he played really well against the Spurs in that overtime win. His best game as a Laker, without question. Only 3 turnovers. He had 33 points, 10 boards, 8 assists. He was everywhere. In OKC, JC, it just... After the first quarter, none of the Lakers looked good. In the first quarter, they were basically immaculate. But after the first quarter, none of this team looked good. And for a team that needed to express a sense of urgency, JC, to say that, hey, we're actually going to be a good team and we can win on the road in a back-to-back without our captain and LeBron, to go up by that margin and then to utterly just check out of the game, this was not a game the Lakers could afford to lose. It's the fifth game of the year. I don't want to hear about energy being an excuse for effort. Like, that's what disappoints me more than anything else about this particular contest.
Yeah, it's these games that they've got to come away with. These games that are you know, basically surefire wins. The broadcast I was watching when they were talking about OKC's coach, the broadcast even said he's more of a player development guy rather than a coach. Like, they said that on broadcast about an NBA head coach. Yep. That he's not really a coach.
It's the Lakers network. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that's who and that's who the Lakers lost to. So that's just, you can't have that.
I mean, I'm questioning a lot of things about the internal chemistry of this team right now. All offseason, I sat here and said, man, the chemistry is already better, JC. It's already better on this team than it was last year. And I still believe that the chemistry in terms of how much the guys like each other is better than last year, okay? But the basketball chemistry is terrible right now. I mean, it's awful. There are some plays where you see Russell Westbrook is starting to develop a little bit of a pick and roll, whether it's with DeAndre Jordan or more prominently Anthony Davis. But outside of that, man, just way too many shots from the perimeter again for this team. For a team that is not a strong three-point shooting team, the Lakers had 35 attempts from distance. They made 11. I mean, it doesn't work. They allowed the Thunder to shoot 50%. Yeah, the Lakers saw 50%, but if you can't shoot from distance, it doesn't really matter. 17 turnovers against a team that hadn't won a game. I mean, that is not we're finding ourselves as a team basketball, JC. That is just, we're just not that good yet kind of team basketball, JC.
Yeah, especially when you look at the 17 turnovers. Anthony Davis is the only one that had two turnovers, and then Russell Westbrook had 10. Everybody else just had one. Watching Russell Westbrook last night versus San Antonio, I was hoping he kind of realized and would turn a corner a little bit, because in that game, even though he scored 33 points, like, he let the offense and the opportunities for him to shoot come to him. He didn't really force anything like he has the first few games and like he did tonight. Like, 14 rebounds, 13 assists, that's great. 8 for 20 is not great. Like, let the offense come to you. Like, you know, you can score and you can hit baskets. Just wait for the opportunities to either be more open or shoot some mid-range. 8 for 20 is not going to cut it.
It's not. And let's kind of go back a little bit here, okay? Because it's been a while, and I just realized we haven't even introduced ourselves. We said we're coming off of the Hoopball Lakers show, JC, but maybe we got some new listeners on this particular podcast. For all the people out there searching for content, desperate to fill the void where Lakers basketball should go, and instead, we need to listen to podcasts because the basketball ain't cutting it right now. But welcome in. I am Ethan. He is JC, and you are on the Hoopball Lakers podcast. Now, the last time that you and I synced up, JC, it's been a while. We've had some solo shows in between, but it's been a while since we've synced up. And last week, I remember telling you that I was going to the Lakers game versus Phoenix and how excited I was to go. And, you know, it was great to be there, but, you know, that was about the highlight in terms of the actual basketball being played. Now, I am fortunate enough that I am getting ready to go again this coming weekend, so I'm looking forward to that against the Houston Rockets. But since that time, JC, obviously they lost in Phoenix. They got their first win of the season, the Lakers did. In somewhat, I don't know that we're going to call it lucky fashion, I don't think John Morant should have ever been on the free throw line in that situation. But needless to say, they needed to get an assist to get the win. And then against the Spurs, they got kind of bailed out in terms of some miracle offense, some miracle shooting from Malik Monk, and a couple of fortunate statistical blemishes on the Spurs side, including 0 of 7 from the foul line in the fourth quarter to win that game in overtime. And now the Lakers blow a 26-point lead to a team that hadn't won a game yet. I know it's early. I'm not saying we should panic. I'm not saying it's time to start changing the roster, you know, trying to play with the ESPN's trade machine, shipping out this, doing that. Lakers don't have a lot of fungibility to begin with. Again, especially without LeBron for the last two games. But JC, this is not how Lakers fans expected this season to open up. And for those who are saying that this potential title team is more reminiscent of the one built with Gary Payton and Karl Malone than it is the one that was built a couple of seasons ago, well, there's a lot of fuel in that gas tank right now.
Yeah, the most pleasant surprise has been kind of the emergence of Austin Reeves, and that's not really a good overall thing to say about where the Lakers are, as, you know, currently.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I think that's really beautifully said in a very succinct way, right? The fact that we're looking at him not even as the next Caruso, as I'll say it, the token white guy on the court, okay? But more than that is that the Lakers don't really have any other options right now. Again, missing Ariza, missing THT. Ellington appears to be on his way back, but is not quite ready yet. I thought Malik Monk, you know, at times for the most part, again, played pretty well tonight, obviously played well against the Spurs and is deserving of more minutes, but the Lakers need more. I mean, it's really that simple. Russell Westbrook, as you said, he scored 20 points, but as you said, he took 20 shots. Anthony Davis, 12 of 22 from the field. Now, as you tweeted after I had some stats I tweeted out about Anthony Davis earlier in the day, which you kind of quote tweeted and added a little context to. I appreciate that. And to his credit, maybe he read your tweet, JC, because he only took 1 3, which was kind of nice to see. And he was 6 of 7 from the free throw line. No, not really too active defensively in this game, but overall, I thought a step in the right direction offensively. But when AD has that kind of game offensively, 30 and 8, he needs to get more support, even without LeBron James in the lineup.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is the kind of game where, you know, Westbrook shot 8 for 20. LeBron maybe might have ended up shooting 11 for 18, maybe. Still sort of around the same number of misses, but it wouldn't have gone 2 for 8 from 3. Wouldn't have created so many other opportunities for OKC with those misses. And, you know, maybe would have put DeAndre Jordan or Dwight Howard in better position to score with some of their baskets. As far as, like, what exactly went wrong tonight, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of breakdowns like that. But, yeah, I mean, Anthony Davis does need to scale back on the amount of threes that he takes. Like, I think about Chris Bosh, and when Chris Bosh first – When they first formed that big three and he started shooting threes, it used to drive me crazy. But year by year, he did seem to get a little bit better and a little bit better, and he was outstanding by the time he unfortunately had his career cut short from three-point line. The thing with Anthony Davis is that he doesn't really seem to be getting any better at shooting them, which is kind of why I say he shouldn't do it, especially when he shoots it, it's usually in a position where the rest of the rotation doesn't have any other offensive rebounders, so it's for sure a turnover.
So, JC, I'm sitting here watching the post game as we talked about just before we started recording. And I hear James Worthy on TV go, yeah, man, I mean, I don't know, man. You know, and it kind of was a summary of how I was feeling coming into this recording. So, JC, if you're Frank Vogel, if you're Rob Pelinka, if you're LeBron James, anyone who's a decision maker, gosh, these autoplay videos are just the devil. I'm just trying to read some box scores, people. All right? My goodness. Anyhow, so if you're all these decision makers in these rooms, what do you do? I mean, obviously you can't hit the panic button. So what do you do, and who steps up to deliver the message of urgency? Because there are a lot of loud voices in that room, the big three being the most obvious, but then you have guys like Rondo and Dwight as well. So who delivers that message, and what does that message contain? What do you do if you're in those shoes?
I think you've got to figure out the rotations, matchups with the rotations that create better results. Like Rondo and Westbrook together, I don't think are working quite the way the coaching staff wants them to, because they're two great players, but the things they're great at, they don't mesh well together. Kent Bazemore had a really great defensive preseason. He hasn't really been defensively what some people thought he might be. I've been pretty pleased with his offense. I think offensively I'm actually okay with what the Lakers have been doing. They just need to figure out that good mix of where they get, you know, competent to good defense, and still offensively I don't think they've really missed a beat all season, save for the two air balls at the end of tonight's game. But yeah, I think offensively I think they're okay. They just need to figure out the better defensive rotations.
Oh, JC, the defense has been a nightmare. It's been atrocious. I mean, it's been a firm departure from what we've seen in the first 2 years of Frank Vogel's regime, where the Lakers are a top defensive team in the league. This is a Thunder team that could barely put points on the board, and the Lakers were making them look like the Harlem Globetrotters out there at one point in the game. I mean, this has been less than ideal, to say the very least.
Yeah, one thing where they have struggled defensively is, and it was kind of an issue last year, is opposing wings and guards do tend to kind of eat against this team. And yeah, so far, they've seen SGA go off, seen Ja Morant go off, Steph Curry go off, and it's unfortunate because you play in the Western Conference. That means Damian Lillard's out there. DeJounte Murray, if he was more of an aggressive offensive player on the Spurs, he could have scored more than he did. Yeah, there's a lot of great wings and guards out in the West, and so they need to shore that up.
I'm also curious, JC, to see how much time Anthony Davis gets at the center position once LeBron does get back into the lineup. DeAndre Jordan has played better over the last couple of games for the role that he's playing, but the bar was so low to begin with that that's really not saying too much, okay? And Dwight, while his enthusiasm is good, it's been the best part of his game. He has not been as effective as I think so many people were maybe remembering or anticipating.
Yeah,
time is
fascinating. Yeah, sorry. DeAndre has been a pretty good shot blocker this season. And so rim protecting is there from him. You're not really seeing that so much from Dwight, which is kind of a bummer.
Well, I think the whole thing is with the Lakers is that they know that they're best with Anthony Davis at center. There's no way around it. It's the truth. But the reality is they also know they have to preserve him to a certain extent because, for lack of a better way to say it, he's kind of frail.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of work to his body to bulk up. I mean, impressively so, especially over the last couple of years. So maybe frail is the wrong word, but he's prone to some weird injuries during the course of his career, and it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I was happy to see him bounce back from, I guess he hit knees with another spur last night. It looked really bad when he went down, and for as long as he was down, didn't think he was going to play tonight, but was happy to see that he played tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think if Anthony Davis starts at the five, you have an opportunity to, I mean, you could start the game with Carmelo Anthony in that instance and just kind of have him go back to the bench a little sooner. But just to get that offensive start with Carmelo in the starting lineup. But I do think that him and Rondo together have played pretty well with that second unit.
Well, I will say that he seems to always have a good chemistry with Rondo. Okay. And I believe in the Lakers' ability to figure it out. I truly do. And their schedule is, I don't know that it's really tough going into December, right? I know we're not even into November yet, excuse me. But as we approach the end of October, Halloween, and the beginning of December, JC, I mean, you look at the teams on the Lakers schedule, it includes Cavs, Rockets, Thunder, Blazers, who have not been great this year, the T-Wolves, they play the Pistons, the Pacers, another team that's underperforming, Pistons again, Kings a couple of times. This is going into December now. It's not until that point in which the Lakers schedule starts to maybe pick up a little bit overall. You know, Lakers have some challenging games as well in that mix. But if the Lakers are blowing these games at the beginning of the season, it's going to be really hard for them to gel and make any kind of headway through the standings as it gets later. Because the Western Conference is competitive, man. And there is, as I said on the last podcast that I did, JC, there is nothing about this Lakers team outright that makes them the definitive NBA champion favorites. There is nothing about this team that they are so far and above, far away and above talented than any other, that they are just outright the favorites. They are one of the potential favorites, but they are doing themselves no favors in that conversation right now.
Yeah, the way people were talking about it is either Lakers or Nets, and everybody else is just going to watch the finals. Like, that's... I knew that was crazy. Like, Milwaukee didn't lose very much, and they're still going to be good. Chicago didn't just improve a little bit with that. With the addition of DeMar DeRozan and Caruso and Lonzo, they're playing really well, and they're super fun to watch. The Knicks, I thought, would fall off, and it doesn't look like they will. And so, yeah, I mean, there's everyone who was a contender last year has improved a little bit, except for maybe Boston. They seem to have slipped, and yeah.
It's in a weird way, the Celtics are sort of in a comparable spot to where the Lakers are, both in terms of their record and sort of questions about their team. Chicago, JC, just really quick, the Bulls are so fun to watch, man. They are just awesome. And I know you were saying before we came on air that it's just so great to see Lonzo and Caruso having fun and playing well with one another. But just overall, man, like, this is what was comical to me. I was talking to somebody today. And when there was all that chatter about DeRozan potentially coming to the Lakers on the mid-level, I was like, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, he's gone on interviews and said he was really interested. But, yeah, maybe not on the mid-level. But, I mean, yeah, before the Russell Westbrook thing happened for that few minutes, it looked like Buddy Hield was on the way. I was envisioning a roster, you know, with Buddy Hield and retaining Caruso and maybe bringing back Lonzo. And Carmelo, I thought, would come all along, because it didn't seem like he wanted to toil in Portland anymore. And he was either going to come to New York or the Lakers. So that's kind of the roster I was envisioning. Like, any other pieces would have been extra. I thought Rondo still might have found his way back to the Lakers, and then, you know, certainly didn't predict Monk or Ellington or Ariza or anything like that. But I mean, yeah, that's the roster I was sort of envisioning for like 3 minutes when the Hield news broke and then the Russell Westbrook trade happened.
Yeah, it was pretty different, I think, for all of us in our head in terms of what we thought it was going to be versus what it became. And we've known since the beginning that this roster, in terms of its fit, is imperfect, but you hope the talent sort of trumped those issues in terms of their ability to come together as a unit, right?
Yeah.
Now we sit here with this team, JC, that has obviously more questions than answers, that has some concern, right, around LeBron's ankle, although I think he'll be back very soon. But he said basically at the time that, you know, he rolled it, or he got rolled into that, oh man, not again, referencing that ankle injury that kept him out for a very prolonged period of time. And ankle injuries like that, JC, where it's, you know, a really bad sprain, they heal, but they can still be aggravated like a period of time later, because especially as a professional basketball player, I mean, you're just pounding on that thing constantly. I know my buddies who play pickup ball a couple times a week, you know, if they've sprained their ankle really bad, which one of them has, every time he gets, you know, rolled into or anything like that, it still bothers him a little bit. So there's going to be that worry both short and long term. But more than that is that our key guys right now are also playing heavy minutes. It's not like, you know, the Lakers are losing games with Anthony Davis playing 28, 30 minutes a game. They're playing these heavy minutes with big workloads. And this is the result. So it's less than inspiring. And I think for a lot of Lakers fans, I'm going to try to speak on behalf of Laker Nation right now, which is a very, very tough activity, because it can be a divisive group over certain topics, and especially certain players or coaches. Hint, hint, wink, wink. But on behalf of Laker Nation, I just think there's a general frustration in the room as to why are we not better? And I think for, you know, one of those rare times in sports where externally you're saying the same thing as they are internally, I think there's part of it is that. I think part of it is that all of these guys, whether they're the three stars in the room are trying to find their fit together, or the supporting cast are trying to figure out exactly what their role is. Everybody's just trying to figure out how they're going to fit into this matrix. And I think third, they're just, you know, sort of uncertain in terms of what style of basketball to play. You can even see it sometimes in their fast breaks when they push it just to slow it down, just to speed it up. Like, it's like they can't even decide within the same play a lot of the time. So right now, I just think that they're settling. There's a lot of, you know, individual offense happening. There's not a lot of individual defense happening. And that's a really bad place for a basketball team to be in, because it's hard to win games that way.
Yeah, they struggle with certain things. I think a lot of Westbrook's turnovers, even that number, might be a little inflated by the fact that he tries that cherry pick pass to AD a lot, and it seems to almost never work when he does it. LeBron can do it, but Russell Westbrook seems like he can't, so he should probably stop that. But yeah, I mean, there are some encouraging things. Some people talked about in that win against Memphis, the Lakers sort of stumbled into a nice late game strategy where you run a pick and roll with Westbrook as the screener and LeBron as the ball handler. Once that initial action is made, the ball can go one of three ways. It can stay with LeBron. It can stay with Russell Westbrook, and Russell Westbrook can, you know, hockey assist it to Anthony Davis, which is sort of what happened a lot. And so that's an encouraging sign. We still haven't seen THT or Ellington or Ariza. Don't know, you know, remains to be seen what kind of impact they'll have. Austin Reeves, as well as he's been playing, if the Lakers do indeed get desperate, he might end up being kind of an attractive trade piece, kind of the way Svi Mykhailiuk was. I really liked him, but the Lakers seemed to, you know, they ended up moving him at the trading deadline. So there's options and there's signs of encouragement.
Well, there's reasons to be optimistic. There are reasons to be pessimistic. But overall, no matter what, you're disappointed with the current, because that's the reality. Now, JC, before we sort of wrap this up, I do want to say that the Lakers do have an opportunity here to get back on track. You got a game against Cleveland on Friday. You got a game against the Rockets on Sunday. You got another game against the Rockets the following Tuesday. And then you got a game, a rematch versus OKC on the 4th of November, JC.
Yeah.
All games at the Staples Center, by the way.
Yeah. In a way, I do hope this loss did kind of open their eyes a little bit in that they're not among the league elite quite yet. And the thing about the Rockets and the Cavs, Evan Mobley is probably going to be the rookie of the year. He's playing really well. The Rockets and Jalen Green. Jalen Green's been playing really well. So those teams, they might not roll over against the Lakers. And so I think this sort of wake-up call, painful as it is, may end up helping a little bit, even though you don't want to see it.
Well, it is my hope, your hope, everyone in Laker Nation's hope, JC, that this loss results in something beyond just general indigestion and frustration. Because right now, that's all it's doing for me, I'll tell you that. As we get out of here, JC, we'll sync up again in the near future. But we'll also have solo pods coming at you guys throughout the season, because just the realities with everybody's work schedules and everything got everybody busy these days. So we're going to try to keep the content coming to you. And feel free to request anything from us. You can always hit us up on Twitter at JCDeLeon1 for JC, at Ethan_Noroff, 1F for me. And just make any suggestions. You can also hit up the Hoopball Lakers podcast at Hoopball Lakers on Twitter, and the whole Hoopball family at Hoopball Tweets, at Hoopball Fantasy. JC, in case we don't chat before the end of this weekend, in which the Lakers move on to Cleveland and the Rockets, are the Lakers going to get 2-0 to get over 500 and 4-3 over 500 for the first time this year?
I believe so. I mean, I thought they would end up the month or hit November 1st at 5-2 with loss tonight. That's obviously not the case, but yeah, I think 4-3 is in the future.
I think you're right. I hope you're right. And on that note, let's all buy some scratch tickets and pray to the gods that we're all going to be correct. All right, he's JC, I'm Ethan, and until next time, we out.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.